from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon. This is Eben Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins, guest hosting from Bot Radio Network in Kansas City, the heart of the United States. Glad you decided to join us today for this Washington Watch broadcast. In the light of the upcoming vote on the Senate floor this Monday, the 25th, on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, I'm devoting this entire broadcast to that topic today with three unique guests. For the first half of the show, I'll be talking with Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood Clinic Director from College Station, Texas, who had a change of mind, became pro-life, and is now a pro-life advocate. There's a new film called Unplanned that will release on Friday, March 29th. Make a note in your calendar to make sure you go and see this and support it. I had an opportunity to watch a pre-screening last Sunday, and I'll be telling you a little bit about that. We may also have an opportunity to play the audio from the trailer from Unplanned. This is a powerful film, and it's very, very important, and I want to make sure that everybody listening today has a chance to see it and that you tell about 10 friends about it, because it could help to change the tide of abortion in this country, and I mean that seriously. At the bottom of the hour, my guest will be Katie Shaw. She's a woman with Down syndrome who spoke up in favor of a bill in Indiana that prohibits abortions for sex selection or for babies with special needs, like Katie, who has Down syndrome. She met President Trump recently at the White House just a few days ago for a conference call with 4,500 pro-life activists about the importance of supporting the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Then at 42 past the hour, Jason Yates, CEO of MyFaithVotes.org, will join me to talk about why it's his passion to urge Christians to become engaged politically to reclaim the culture for Christ. And, of course, we'll also be talking about this topic with regard to the vote coming up on Monday. Well, Abby Johnson is scheduled to be on the broadcast. Our producer's having some difficulty getting in touch with her, but we're going to go ahead and talk about her and about this film while we wait. We may not get a hold of her, but we'll hang in there together. I may take some phone calls, too, this first half hour, so be ready to call. The number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Well, let me go ahead and set up Abby for whenever we do get a hold of her, if we get a hold of her. I imagine that you've heard about Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood Clinic Director in College Station, Texas, who had a change of mind, became pro-life, and is now a pro-life advocate. Her book is titled Unplanned, the dramatic true story of a former Planned Parenthood leader's eye-opening journey across the lifeline. And the Unplanned movie about her transformation will hit the silver screen on Friday, March 29th. You'll be able to watch the trailer. In fact, I'm probably going to play the audio from the trailer here in just a minute, and then I'll tell you where you can go watch it, because hearing the audio is powerful enough, but when you see the video that goes with it, it makes it even more powerful. In light of the upcoming vote in the Senate this Monday, February 25th at 5 p.m., for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, we wanted to feature the story of Abby Johnson today for the first half of the show. And I want you to write down this phone number. It's the Senate comment line. It's actually the number where you can call your senator's office. It's 202-224-3121. And we're going to repeat this number throughout the broadcast. 202-224-3121. Call your senator and urge him or her to vote for this, whether or not you know that they're going to vote for it or if you're pretty sure they're not. It's very important that they hear from their constituents. So make sure you call both of your senators. And, you know, if you have a Democrat senator, they're likely to vote against this. But there is perhaps hope in changing their mind. Maybe, maybe. The number is 202-224-3121. If you're calling after hours, you can just leave a voicemail. Well, I'm glad to say that Abby Johnson is on the line with us. Abby, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So glad. We were having a little bit of difficulty getting a hold of you, and I'm so glad to talk with you. I've told our listeners a little bit about your story, just very briefly, and about the film that's coming out that's called Unplanned. I want to let you go ahead and tell that story, and we may actually play the audio from the trailer here in a few minutes because I want folks to get a sense for this thing. First of all, tell us a little bit about your story, Abby.
Sure. I worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years. I was an abortion clinic director there, left in 2009 after several things, but ultimately left after witnessing a live ultrasound-guided abortion procedure where I saw a 13-week-old baby fight and struggle for his life during the abortion procedure and ultimately lose his life. And I knew that at that moment that there was humanity in the womb, there was life in the womb, and that I was on the wrong side of this debate. And so I ended up leaving and started speaking out about my experiences, things I had witnessed at Planned Parenthood, just trying to really speak out against what they're doing inside of the abortion industry.
So how did it all start with you? I think, you know, the movie portrays that you were on a college campus, and that was maybe kind of where you were first snagged by Planned Parenthood. Tell us the story from that point and how you ended up as a director of a clinic.
Yeah, I mean, I was in college. I was actually at a volunteer fair looking for a place to volunteer on campus. And, you know, met a woman with Planned Parenthood. I didn't know anything about the organization. I was really raised in a pro-life home, but I didn't grow up anywhere around a Planned Parenthood, didn't know anything about them. Abortion wasn't something that was really talked about in my house. It was just, you know, we're pro-life, and that was sort of it. We didn't talk about it around the dinner table. And then, you know, Planned Parenthood was telling me about, you know, giving me all their talking points about women are going to have back alley abortions if they're not there, and they're there to protect women and to protect their rights and to provide services to low-income women who would have nowhere else to go for health care without them. And, you know, because I was really naive and really ignorant to the talking points of either side of the debate, I was very easily talked into getting involved with them, and started out in college working with them, and then just continually rose up through the organization and ended up running the clinic.
So you grew up, you said you grew up in a pro-life home. How did your parents react to your involvement with Planned Parenthood? I assume they were aware of what Planned Parenthood's all about.
Yeah, I actually, I didn't tell them that I was working for Planned Parenthood for the first year and a half that I worked there. Because I knew that they would not be okay with that decision. They would not like where I was working. When I finally did tell them, they were, you know, they were visibly disappointed to know where I was working. But by that time, I had been with the organization for, you know, a year and a half. And I really believed that we were there to help women, to reduce the number of abortions, to empower women, things like that. So there was nothing they could have said at that point that would have made me leave my job or would have made me really question what I was doing.
Let me take a couple of minutes now to play the trailer from the film, because that'll help set up some of the other questions I have for you, Abby. So right now what we're going to do is play the audio from the Unplanned Films official trailer, and you can find that at unplannedmovie.com. But here it goes.
Abby Johnson is in the other room.
Here.
Our first order of business is to present Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award. Abby Johnson.
There's a fire inside, you can feel. This is Abby. She's our newest volunteer escort. Abby, this is Cheryl D'Alessandro.
I'd be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
You'll actually be in charge of the abortions at your clinic?
I have a chance to make a real difference.
No matter what you do for the rest of your life, you're still going to be a baby killer.
The only thing that's changed is you, Abby. Can you even hear yourself talk right now about these procedures? These are little babies.
I'm not going to apologize for doing a job that helps women in crisis.
There's still a part of me that is unsure.
I know. But the one thing that all experts agree on is that at this stage, the fetus can't feel anything.
Sorry to bother you, but they need an extra person in the back room. Are you free?
I saw it. It was like it was twisting and fighting for its life.
We commend the souls of these hundreds of children. And Lord, we pray to end abortion.
I really appreciate what you've done for us. I'll not forget it.
22,000 abortions. How do I even comprehend that?
Rough day at the office.
You can say that. You're making a mess.
It's your dad and me. You are our baby from the moment of conception.
We are paying you to be a perfect instrument of corporate policy. We are an abortion provider.
I can't be a part of this anymore. Everything that they told us is a lie.
Don't underestimate the repercussions of this. You gotta be careful.
Rhonda, please don't do this! Rhonda!
Let me tell you what's gonna happen if you walk through that door.
Congratulations. You've made an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.
And there it is. That's the trailer from the film Unplanned. Abby, how accurately does this film portray what happened to you and what you experienced?
Oh, it's very accurate. So I had final approval of the screenplay, the script. So you know, I was able to go through it and make sure that everything was very accurately represented. Nothing in this film is over dramatized or embellished or exaggerated. It's just, you know, the very real truth of abortion. It's very raw. It's very honest. But, you know, we really do believe that this film is—it's unlike anything else that's ever been put out before surrounding abortion, and we're just really praying that people will go see it, because even for those who are pro-life, I believe that this is going to stir up an urgency in all of us to do more to get us motivated in this pro-life fight.
You know, Abby, one of the things that I believe strongly, and I have said this in other broadcasts before, is that if the networks were to broadcast an abortion, and kind of like the scene that we see in this film, I think many, many hearts and minds would be changed. And I think that's the power of this film, quite frankly. We'll be back here in just a minute to talk more with Abby Johnson, who is the person that this film, Unplanned, is all about. We'll learn a little bit more about it. And I've got a couple of questions about a couple of the scenes in the film for you, Abby. So watch the trailer at unplannedfilm.com, the audio you just heard. Make sure that you call your two senators, urging them to vote for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act this Monday, the 25th. And we'll be learning more about that in the fourth segment of the broadcast. But the number is 202-224-3121. You're listening to the Washington Watch broadcast. Evan Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins. We'll be right back with Abby Johnson.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. This is Eben Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins. We're continuing now with Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood abortion clinic director for 8 years in College Station, Texas. Before the day, she viewed an abortion ultrasound, and that changed everything. She quit. She's now pro-life. She wrote a book about her story called Unplanned, and the movie Unplanned is set to hit theaters on Friday, March 29th. Abby, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, so there was the turning point scene in the film, and that's when you were asked if you had a couple of extra minutes and you could go back and help in one of the procedure rooms. Tell us what that was like. And one of the questions I have is, okay, you were working there, you knew what was going on, but why is it that that flipped a switch when that happened that day?
So it was different because ultrasound guidance during an abortion procedure is not typically used. It's not standard inside of Planned Parenthood protocol. But we had a visiting physician come in that day, and he was explaining that using an ultrasound during an abortion, during the entire abortion, so that you could actually see the uterus while the abortion was being performed, was safer for the women. That made sense to me. We had a high rate of uterine perforation where the doctor would just poke a hole through the uterus because he literally can't see what he's doing while he's performing surgery. I had asked my supervisor, you know, if this is safest for women, then why isn't this the standard of care? I was told that it is safer for women, but using an ultrasound during an abortion takes up about an extra 3 minutes of time. And our goal inside Planned Parenthood was to have a woman on the table, off the table, abortion complete in 5 minutes. So adding an additional 3 minutes of time to use an ultrasound when you're trying to do, you know, anywhere from 40 to 60 abortions in a day was just not something that we were going to be willing to do. But this doctor told me that if the right patient presented and time presented, that he would do this sort of ultrasound guided abortion procedure, and that's why I was called back so that I could hold the ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen during the abortion, so that the doctor would be able to see the baby.
Wow. And so, again, what was it? It actually came to life. It became much more real to you at that point, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, and this is shown in the film. I mean, there were times before where I worked in the POC lab. The POC, of course, stands for products of conception. That's where you piece the babies back together. You piece their body parts back together. I had done that for years. And people say, gosh, I can't believe that, you know, that wasn't enough for you. But I have to say, you know, I had seen the graphic images for years. People stood outside of our clinics and held those all the time. I had pieced these babies back together in real life. It wasn't the death of the baby. It wasn't the body parts. It wasn't the gore. It wasn't any of that that caused me to leave the clinic and to see what we were doing was wrong. It was seeing the life of the baby. Hmm. It was seeing this human response that we all have to protect ourselves from danger. It was seeing this child flailing his arms and legs, trying to move away from these abortion instruments. That's what caused me to say, this is wrong. I cannot be a part of this anymore. Clearly, there is life in the womb. And I have been taught for 8 years that, you know, I'd been taught abortion science. So abortion science told us that a pregnancy isn't a baby until the mother decides that the baby is wanted. And I realized then that that was ridiculous, that this was a child in the womb at the moment of conception, and wantedness made absolutely no difference in this child's humanity.
And then the doctor is portrayed in a particular way in that scene. Is that pretty accurate? Was his attitude and demeanor pretty close to the way it's portrayed in the film?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know,
I mean, he was flippant about it.
I would say that, you know, most people that work in the abortion industry are really working from a place of ignorance. And just not a full understanding of what's really happening, and really just there's almost a spiritual blindness as well, just not being able to see really what's in front of you. You know, these doctors are in a very different place. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what's happening to the baby. They recognize that they are taking a life. It almost, in a way, all the abortion doctors that I worked with, that gave them a great sense of power to know that they held life and death in their hands. So, abortion doctors, by and large, are very flippant. They're very dark and just very casual about the life that they take.
Yeah, that'd have to be the case, and their hearts have to be hardened, of course, to be able to do what they do every day. One last question. There's a scene where there's a young woman who comes in for an abortion, and from the film it appears that you knew this young lady and her father, and I won't give away too much, but this young woman began to have some serious bleeding in the clinic, and you noticed it. Mm-hmm. So just very quickly, tell us a little bit about that. We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, she was a young girl that was brought in by her father. I knew them both, knew them well. And the doctor, without even knowing it, ended up perforating her uterus. She almost died on the table. That scene is very accurately portrayed in the film. And again, shows just sort of the callousness of the abortion industry and the way that their patients are treated.
Wow. Well, Abby, you're doing some great, great work now. We thank you so much for this story. I think it's going to change hearts and minds and lives all across the country. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. Coming up next, I'll talk with Katie Shaw, a young woman with Down syndrome who met President Trump in the Oval Office when he conferenced with 4,500 pro-life activists by phone recently. You're listening to Washington Watch. This is Evan Fowler sitting in for Tony Perkins. Again, we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll be taking your calls in the last segment.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch on this Friday afternoon. Evan Fowler sitting in for Tony Perkins today from Bot Radio Network. President Trump wanted to rally the troops to support the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which is coming up for a vote in the Senate this upcoming Monday, the 25th. That's why he led a conference call from the Oval Office with about 4,500 pro-life activists. I think that was just last week. Sitting in the Oval Office that day was one of my next guests, Katie Shaw from Indianapolis, Indiana. She's a young woman with Down syndrome who has been a powerful pro-life advocate, especially as states consider legislation to protect unborn babies with special needs from being aborted. Before I talk, though, with Katie, I want to ask a question or two of Katie's mom, Patty. Patty, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I understand you and your daughter, Katie, are going to kind of huddle around a speakerphone there, and we are looking forward to talking with you. First of all, Patty, tell us a little bit about tell us your story about when you and your husband found out that Katie, in the womb, had Down syndrome when she was about 5 months gestation. And how did you deal with that? Did you ever consider abortion? That's a tough question even to ask.
It is a tough question, but I'll tell you, I was 29 years old. We had our life all planned out. That wasn't in our plan, but when the doctors told us, they also assured us that they were going to help us, help our daughter have a healthy delivery, and whatever came up, we were going to help her get through it. We ended up finding out that she was going to have surgery the day after she was born. And from day one, that prenatal diagnosis helped us prepare for her and get her through all the hurdles she had from the time she was born.
That's wonderful. So it sounds like your doctors were headed the right direction, because there are some doctors who, as soon as they saw those test results, would present you with the choice, shall we say, of abortion, right?
That's right. I will say Katie is 33, and I think back then, you know, prenatal diagnosis was pretty new to the average mother, and but they were using it for good reasons. They were using it to help the mother and help the child.
Yeah, and it's,
I'm not
it's
sure.
Kind of, yeah, it's kind of changed. It has kind of changed. Well, Patty, if Katie's there, we'd like to chat with her for just a minute.
Hello.
Hi, Katie. Welcome to Washington Watch. It's good to have you on today. Well, you know, in the introduction, I let our listeners know that you had visited with President Trump. You were in the Oval Office that day. Tell us what that was like, being with the president.
It was very easy and awesome. And he's very pro-life.
I gather that. So, Katie, your mom tells us that in grade school you did all kinds of stuff. You dance lessons, piano lessons, softball. And what things did you like the best?
Probably softball. Anything with a ball, I love. And
all right.
I still do it today.
Oh, that's fun. Then apparently later in high school, you played the violin in the school orchestra and managed the high school softball team. So you've done a whole lot of stuff in school. Tell me a little bit about your education after high school. What did you do?
I'm not sure what year it was, but Ivy Tech. I got my early childhood development associate degree in early childhood from Ivy Tech Community College. Then I also got my GED. That was before. She loves to learn. Yeah, she's an avid reader and belongs to a book club that meets every week.
And then, Katie, in 2016, you were asked to speak to the Indiana Health Provider Services Committee to voice your support for a law that would prohibit your state, Indiana, from doing abortion solely based on the gender of the baby or disability. Tell us about that. Were you nervous when you told your story?
Yeah, just a little bit. But once I got in there, I just told my story, and I wanted people to see me, and I did it. And I'm proud that I did do it.
Oh, the bill became law, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I also understand, Katie, that you speak at a lot of dinners for pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. What message do you deliver when you speak?
I can't believe that she's being bashful.
Yeah, I bet she isn't bashful when she stands up in front of the legislature. Well, so, Patty, tell us a little bit about the message. We've got about 30 seconds left here. Tell us about the message that Katie delivers when she's talking with groups like that.
Her whole speech that she gives is that she has a wonderful life, just like my other two kids, just like all of us. You know, there may be bumps in the road, but our life is the greatest gift that God gave us. And she doesn't want any babies aborted for any disabilities, especially Down syndrome is what she's advocating for. But the main thing is that every baby's entitled to a wonderful life.
Absolutely. Well, Patty and Katie, thanks so much for joining us on Washington Watch today. We appreciate it. This is Evan Fowler. Be right back for our final segment.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
You're listening to the Washington Watch broadcast. This is Evan Fowler from Bot Radio Network sitting in today for Tony Perkins. I'm glad to have you along on this Friday afternoon. My next guest is Jason Yates. He's the CEO of My Faith Votes, a nonpartisan movement focused on motivating Christians in America to participate in the political process. Very, very important. In fact, Governor Mike Huckabee serves as that organization's honorary national chairman. Jason, welcome to Washington Watch. Glad to have you aboard.
Hey, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, we've got some audio, Jason, that I want to play. We've got several cuts from the Senate, and I think this is from last week. I don't have the exact date, but I think this will help set us up for the conversation that you and I are going to have, not only about the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which is coming up for a vote this upcoming week on Monday. So what we're going to do is listen to, first of all, this is audio from Senator Ben Sasse. He's the senator from the state of Nebraska. He called for a vote on a bill, either this bill or something very similar, to protect young babies in the womb. In fact, this is in opposition to some of the craziness that's going on in this country. For instance, the bill that was recently passed in the state of New York, the attempt to pass it in Virginia, where the disgraced governor, the governor who wore a Ku Klux Klan costume apparently back in medical school and who was saying some outlandish things. But first of all, let's hear Senator Ben Sasse. This is cut one.
In a few minutes, the United States Senate is going to have an opportunity to condemn infanticide. 100 United States senators are going to have an opportunity to unanimously say the most basic thing imaginable, and that is that it's wrong to kill a little newborn baby. Every senator will have the opportunity to stand for human dignity, to stand for the belief that in this country, all of us are created equal. Because if that equality means anything, surely it means that infanticide is wrong. In Virginia, disgraced Governor Ralph Northam tarnished the American idea of equality under law. He betrayed the universal truth of human dignity, and he turned the stomachs of civilized people, not just in this country, but in every country on earth, Governor Northam endorsed infanticide. Infants could be kept comfortable and resuscitated, and also baby girls could be left cold and alone to die. Just a few years ago, the abortion lobby was really clear in its talk about hoping that abortion would be safe, legal, and rare. Now we're talking about keeping a baby comfortable while the doctors have a debate about infanticide. That is what we're talking about here on the floor tonight. We are actually talking about babies that have been born. The only debate on the floor tonight is about infanticide. Governor Northam is a disgraced coward, and he has such an abysmally low view of human dignity that he couldn't bring himself to say this basic truth. It's wrong to let little babies who've been born die. He couldn't say it. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats. We're way beyond that. Everyone in this Senate ought to be able to say unequivocally that the little baby deserves life, that she has rights, and that killing her is wrong. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act prohibits exactly the kind of infanticide that Governor Northam was endorsing. That's it. That's what the legislation is about. There are only two sides of the debate on the floor tonight. You're either for babies or you're defending infanticide.
The next cut is Senator Steve Daines from Montana as he's following up on Senator Sasse's comments. This is cut two.
Last week, Governor Northam of Virginia gave chilling remarks that defended a law legalizing abortion to the point of birth and even after. I was asked by many what I thought about those words. The word evil comes to mind. These comments the governor made pull back the curtain on an extreme and dangerous abortion agenda that shows callous disregard for human life. What the Virginia governor is defending and what these ghoulish abortion up to birth laws enable is the free reign of brutal killers like Kermit Gosnell. Babies who survive the violence of an attempted abortion must not be subject to further violence or neglect.
So Senator Sasse was asking for something called unanimous consent, where it essentially sort of fast tracks a bill to the floor of the Senate for a vote, as I understand. And it only takes one senator to object. Now, here is cut three, Senator Patty Murray. Cut three.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
And then here is Senator Ben Sasse again, his response to Patty Murray. This is cut four.
The bill that we're talking about before this body tonight is because New York already and Virginia in debate are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections. This debate is about infanticide and infanticide only, and this is a sad day for this body.
I'm proud to say this next senator is my senator from Missouri, my new senator, Hawley. Cut five.
Is this really what it has come to in the United States? Is this really the social vision of today's Democrat Party? Because frankly, I can't imagine a vision less just or less consistent with the goodness and compassion of the American people.
And finally, Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, cut six.
This is not about pro-life and pro-choice. This is pro-humanity. To get to the point that we're discussing whether a child lives or dies based on what they look like at birth, and if they don't quite look right, then we'll take that life, is inhumane and is beneath us as a society. And I cannot fathom a discussion that we're having on the floor of the United States Senate where a fully delivered child, we're going to discuss whether they're going to live or die.
Well, Jason, that kind of makes it black and white, doesn't it?
It sure does. You know, you've given all these great clips here. I don't know what else I have to say, but clearly there's an extreme pro-abortion agenda, and it's being laid bare for all of us to see. What's happening. And, you know, I did like what Senator Sasse said in a tweet recently when he said, you know, we have all these senators who are talking about fighting for the little guy. Well, here's your chance. These are the little guys. Let's fight for them. And so we'll see. On Monday, February 25th, there will be a vote on this. And we'll see how, you know, how people react and whether or not, you know, we have a vision that, as the clip you just said, is about goodness and compassion and is pro-humanity, or whether it's about infanticide. The words, you know, some of the clips that I think Senator Sasse even said was evil, chilling. I mean, these are things that we're up against, and this will be the decision on Monday. I believe that this is one of the, if not the most important legislation in a generation, because it is about who we are as a nation.
All right. So this is the Born Alive. Let me find the correct title here, because it sort of wandered off my page. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It's fairly straightforward in what it's calling for. And as you said, and as I've said several times during this broadcast, it's coming up for a vote on the Senate floor on Monday. All right. My Faith yeah. Votes is involved with activating Christians across this country to get involved in the political realm and to get involved. Really, let's forget the word political realm. Let's to get involved in the culture, to get involved with what's going yeah. on around this country. What, you know, you've got a bunch of Christians listening right now. What's your message to them with respect to this vote coming up Monday?
Well, you know, specifically related to this vote, we need to take action, and we need to let our senators know that we support this bill and that this is incredibly important. And I would give your listeners two ways that they can take action. Well, it's both letting their senators know they support it, but you can do that by either texting the word action, simply the word action, to 73075. We'll guide you through the process to take action, send a message to your senator. Again, that's the word action to 73075. Or simply go to the following webpage, just myfaithvotes.org/bornalive. Go to myfaithvotes.org/bornalive, and you'll be able to do the same thing and send a message to your elected senator.
Right. And I'm going to give a phone number, too, for the Senate. And this is a phone number you call, and it's an automated system. And
yeah.
you just simply speak the name of your state, and then they give you the option of which senator's office you want. So it's very easy. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes you get a person if it's during the day. Sometimes you'll get an opportunity to leave a voicemail message. But from everything we know, when politicians hear from their constituents, they take notice, whether it's by letter, by phone, by email, whatever it is. So here it is, 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121. That's for the Senate side, and that's the side we're interested in here, not the House, because the House is not going to vote on this. It's going to be the Senate. And if this passes, right. will it not then be sent to President Trump for signature?
Yeah, it sure will. And, you know, we're blessed, I think, right now to have a president that is solidly on the side of life. The measures he's taken, the statements that he's recently made, both in the State of the Union address that he just gave and in a letter that he sent to House Speaker Pelosi saying that he would veto any legislation that would infringe on current federal protections of the unborn, or that would in any way infringe on life in general. And so he has proven in many ways that he is pro-life, and we know that he would support this bill.
Jason, I'm going to give our phone number in case we have a listener. We'll try to squeeze in a couple of calls. It's 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. If you want to jump on and join us, talk with Jason, ask a question, feel free to do that. 866-372-7234. I think we might be able to work in a couple of calls. Well, Jason, so, you know, oftentimes you hear the church is not actively engaged or as actively engaged as it needs to be. I recently was at a meeting the other day where there was a discussion about how many millions of Christians there are who are not involved in the process. They're not involved in voting or educating themselves. And if they were, there would be no election that that we couldn't win. And it's important. You know, elections have consequences, right?
They absolutely have consequences. And on average, in a presidential race where you really get the most participation, there's still about 25 million Christians who are registered to vote but are staying on the sidelines. And so that's why My Faith Votes was created, why we exist. It's to get people off the sidelines. We're not a political organization. We are a faith-based organization. We're just simply encouraging every single Christian to live their faith in the fullness of all that they are and the fullness of all their life, and bringing that forward into a place that it really does matter. I often talk about Galatians 6:10. It says, as we have opportunity, let us do good. And you know, your vote is an opportunity to do good in our nation. So let's take advantage of it. And let me say one other quick thing. Last year was a midterm election year. There were 70,000 elections that happened across the country in 2018. This year, everyone thinks about it as a non-election year. Well, let me tell you, there are 81,000 elections happening across the country. So we often think about federal elections, but we can have more influence and more impact if we're taking action in our local elections. And they're happening big time this year.
Wow. Let's see if we can squeeze in a call here. We only have a couple of minutes. Chris from Springfield, Illinois. Chris, thanks for calling Washington Watch today. What's your question?
I don't have a question. I just have a statement that I am so saddened and sickened by what's going on in New York and in Virginia. And I intend to speak out to my senator. I'm not sure being from Illinois that it will do any good, but I intend to do what I can.
That's phenomenal, Chris. Thank you. Thank you for doing
that. We need to stop this murder. And there are so many young couples that cannot conceive and are desperate for a child. Mm. And they should be allowed to adopt those children that no one else wants.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate you saying that and drawing attention to that. I have two adopted children myself, and it's for that very reason. And we just love them dearly. And there are so many families that are in that same situation. So thank you for that endorsement. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, again, Chris, thank you for you're a great example to the rest of us listening, and that you're going to be picking up the phone and making that call. Again, let me give the Senate phone number, 202-225-3121. And what we're talking about is the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which will be voted on next Monday. This is very, very important. It will force senators to take a position on this issue. And they're not they're going to be required to actually take a stand and let us know what their vote is here.
Here's what I think. We should hold everyone who votes against this accountable, right? Yeah. I mean that every single senator that votes against this, I think, should be forced to explain why they would withhold care to a breathing child.
That's right. Well, Jason, we are out of time. We're going to have to cut you off here. Jason Yates, CEO of My Faith Votes, has been our guest on this final segment of Washington Watch. And we're so glad that you joined us today for this broadcast. Once again, call your senators, both of them, and let them know. You can call them tonight even and leave a message. This is Evan Fowler, been sitting in today for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. Thank you.
For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.